Welcome to the City Point Church podcast. Thanks for joining us. Every day is an opportunity to take hold of. So we hope this message inspires you and builds your faith, that it helps you have more of a God perspective for your day. Enjoy.
Today, are you ready to receive? Awesome. If you are, can you confess out loud, today my heart is open. My ears are alert to grow and change. Amen. Amen. You know, we confess that every Sunday because it's so, so important that when we come to the Word of God, we are always willing to grow and we're always willing to change. Because the Word of God always has something to teach us, doesn't it? It's the living Word of God, which means it's alive, which means it's forever moving. Not changing in itself, but forever moving in revelation and what the Spirit of God can teach us through the Scriptures. So that's why we confess that, is to put ourselves in a right stance, ready to receive what God wants to speak to us today. I want to read from a great scripture in Genesis 11. It's the Tower of Babel story. Have we all heard that before? And so I'm going to read from verses 1 to 6 if you want to follow along. It's up on the screens. It says, now the whole earth had one language and one speech. So this is just after the flood, the great flood with Noah. Noah's in the ark and all the animals. So this is just after that. So they had one language, one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, which is around Babylon, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had bricks for stone and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered and abroad over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of man had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now, nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. I've called today's message Onward and Upward. Can we say Onward and Upward? Onward and Upward. I believe that we are called to live every single day onward and upward. In other words, continually in a motion, moving forward. And so we're going to look at what onward and upward means today. And the concept of this word, or the concept of the church, is about unity. And so what I really want us to get hold of today is the power of unity. And then more than that, what unity actually looks like. Not just for us, but what it looks like for you to be part of a united church, or a united front, or a united body of Christ. So your part to play, or how you become united with the rest of the saints. So we want to look at that. I say it like that because when we talk about the church and unity, what we don't see is what they're meant to do, that they're meant to be united. The church is meant to be united. Here's the thing, is for us to be united, you must be in one accord with us, whoever us is. Because really, us is you. So therefore, you need to be in one accord with the person sitting next to you, with the person behind you, or the person sitting in front of you, or the person that couldn't make it today. We are in one accord. So how does that happen? Because we are individuals and we're all so different. We have different talents, different heart attitudes, or different things we want to achieve in life. So how do we, as a church of many, many members, become one body, united in Jesus Christ? Well, generally, I should say, it's done through vision. It's not generally done through vision. It's always done through vision. So we are united through vision, through purpose, and obviously through Jesus Christ and our belief in Jesus. Amen. So we're going to look at what this whole thing looks like for us. You know, in this story of the Tower of Babel, Babel. So in this story, I was always under the assumption, me and Melanie were just having our own conversation. I was always under the assumption that they were trying to reach heaven and God did not want that to happen. But then when you think about it, you know, we have aeroplanes that go higher. We have rockets that go further. And so I don't think God was really too concerned about them reaching him in heaven. And I preached last week that, you know, theologically, heaven's not really a destination as such anyway. So God wasn't worried about this. What God was seeing in these people was pride. The same pride that he saw in the people before the flood. He was actually seeing it coming back in to the people on planet Earth, a pride that would separate them from God, from the love of God, and from their need and reliance upon God. So this pride was the same as before the flood of self-reliance. So rather than looking to God, they started to look to their own abilities, their abilities to conquer, their abilities to build and to leave a legacy. Imagine if God allowed the tower to continue. The legacy that would be left today of those amazing people that don't even have our technology, but were able to do something. But rather, the story has changed to God. The story has shifted to how God intervened and why God intervened, as opposed to the pride of men themselves. You know, sometimes in life, we can be the same, where we have abilities and talents, and we start to shift our world and shift our lives in a heart of pride, and we don't know it at the point. We don't know it when we start this, but we go on a journey of self-development or self-pride, using our gifts to form the world around us, using our gifts to become our identity. And as a musician, I started to do this as well, and then I felt the call of God for me to lay it down, and I did that. But I used to wrap my identity up in my bands, in my music, and I was giving God all the glory though, right? I was writing songs that were Christian, we were playing them in pubs and clubs, and I was a Christian, I was a leader in the church, in our old church, in the music team, and it was all about for the glory of God. But while I didn't realize I was intending for it to be about the glory of God, my identity was starting to be wrapped up in my talents, which means I was down an avenue of pride and self-reliance. Wow. And I really knew this when I cut my hair in this very church about 7 or so years ago. I had a massive revelation. I did not even know that my identity was wrapped up in my own gifts and talents. Wow. Because my hair represented my music world. Wow. And when I cut the hair, I felt like a part of me was being cut out of my life. But little did I know that that part that was getting cut out of my life would get fulfilled with the purposes of God, which was so much greater for me and brought so much more satisfaction and fulfillment than the music world could have ever done. So do I say this to say pursuing a career as a musician outside of the church is wrong? No, not at all. I don't believe. In fact, I view it the other way. I think as if you're a musician in the house, or if you're gifted in any sort of arts, or if you've got hospitality as your talent, and you can take him outside the walls of the church and influence our world, I think that that's only amazing, and that's a gift from God. And I think go there and do that, but don't let your identity be wrapped up. This is my view. I just want to stay on this just for a little bit, because it's actually really important. Identity. And understanding our identity influences our ability for unity. Because if we don't wrap our identity up in Christ, we find it hard to really unify with other people that have different talents, different mindsets, different giftings, but are unified in Christ. We find it hard to unify with the person, so we try and unify with the church, and we think that that's okay. Are not understanding the people are the church. And so we mislead ourselves. So our identity needs to really be wrapped up. If you have a talent that is useful to the world outside the walls of the church, okay, go and pursue that. But never, ever allow that talent to be pursued out there and not here, literally on Sundays. Yeah. I don't believe in that. I'm sorry, I don't see it in the Word of God. Jesus died for the church. And yes, the church is you and I. But what we're going to see in today's message is that when we unify as the people and we congregate together, God brings a blessing that you do not receive when you're separated from. We're going to see that today. And so whatever giftings and talents you have, they are for all men to bring influence of Jesus Christ into the world. But they must be brought literally into the church so that we unify together and make the church of Jesus Christ strong and solid and a massive light in our world and in our community. Amen. So we'll hopefully I pray that you see that during and through today's message. Hence why we pray, God, we have an open heart to receive today. So the word onward means to continue to look forward. So when we say onward and upward, what we're saying is we want to continue to look forward. And upward means to have a goal or to have a vision. So onward and upward means to look forward with a goal or with a vision. The question is whose goal and whose vision? And where are you looking forward to? So in as saints or as believers, we have a common goal and a common vision to see the light of Jesus shine on planet Earth. Ultimately, at the end of the day, no matter what sphere of life you are in, the Word of God, it brings our vision to us. It brings our goal to us. So whether you're in business or whether you're in the arts or whatever your gifting is or your job is, at the end of the day, we model our whole lives in our workplace. There is no such thing as a separation for us as believers between the church and our jobs, between the church and our everyday community. We have to understand that there should not be a division in our world. Yeah, Sunday I do the church and I bring my talent there, but you know, at work I'm just there to work. No, at work you bring God and you bring your giftings and you bring your anointing and you bring your talent there, just like you do at church and just like you do at the McDonald's drive-thru and just like you do when you're talking to someone on the streets. We are Christians, not on Sundays, but we are as a people. Our identity of who we are is in Christ. Therefore, we continually non-stop live out the Christian principles and shine Christ in our heart. So there is no divide for us. God creates a divide like he did in Egypt. Remember in Egypt, God brought a clear divide between the Hebrews and the Egyptians. Why? To bring him glory, because they were his people. So God allows his light to shine in the darkness. So there is a divide there. People can see darkness and they can see the light. The light shines through you and I, the church. Amen. So there is a divide that happens because of who we are, but we don't carry out be in the world, but not of the world. In other words, you and your totality is in the world carrying Jesus and your anointing and your presence and your generosity and all your gifts and your talents, but you aren't of the world. In other words, you aren't buckled by the power of what's going on or the language being said over your life, but you are set forward in strength and confidence by who Jesus says you are, okay? So we're in the world, but not of the world. Is this good so far? Are we getting something today? So onwards and upwards. This is why when you and I take the little we have and we unify it, it becomes a force to be reckoned with. So for instance, you might have a little bit of vision of how you could reach your world, but you start to share it and unify it with your brothers and sisters here during the week and on Sundays, and you talk about your vision, you'll find somebody that can help that vision come forward. So without that person, you would not be able to move forward in the vision that God placed in your heart. But because of this person, they go, oh, yeah, you can come and speak at this and this. And this influences the commissioner in our community, which influences them, might get you on a board. This happened for us as a church just this week. Yes. Yeah. So we united with the commissioner of this community, the police commissioner, and he has created an avenue that might put us on a board for the whole Moreton Bay region to represent all of the churches, every denomination. Happened this week. Why? Through unity. Okay, so when you have a little bit of finance, you can go, I have a heart to change the world, but I don't have a pocket deep enough and full enough to do so. That's fine. Bring what you've got into the house. Because when we all bring it together, we can do amazing programs in our hospitals and get people out into our seniors areas, and we can get the youth going into our schools. We can revolutionize and change the community when we follow the principles and tithe and bring offerings into the house. So that's finances. What about your time? You know, you might go, well, I've only got, you know, Mondays, you know, between 3:30 and 4:30. That's all I've really got, because I have to be there for my husband or my wife and my children when they get home from school. I already work 40 hours a week. I've got this program. I'm part of a gym and a sporting club. But I've got this hour that I could give. Well, give it. Bring it into the house of God. Let us know, like someone did just this morning in this house in the 8:30 service. So if one person did in the 8:30, I think at least 10 could in the 10:15. But why don't you bring your hours? Because that 1 hour you can share is already 10 hours this week that we have people doing amazing things. So your time, your talent, maybe you're a musician in the house. And you go, you know what? I can't do every week roster because I do this and I've got these commitments, or I'm going away and this and that, but I can do once a month. Bring your once a month in. Because if we have five of you, our whole team is growing and people are able to actually sit and listen to the praise and worship rather than being on every single Sunday. Whatever your gift is, whatever your talent is, when we unify as a body of Christ and bring it together, you might say, I need a prayer, but it's just not significant enough to share. Well, did you know that we get, as a week, we might get 20 or 30 insignificant prayers? But for those insignificant prayers, there is a whole army of people in this church every single week that pray and bring breakthrough. If you're not seeing God doing and moving in your world like you need, well, maybe you need to fill out one of those prayer requests and get it in, so the army in this church of intercessors that pray every week can unify with you. Because why don't we have breakthrough when we unify in prayer together? Amen. What about in the message? When I say something absolutely amazing and mind-blowing, it's already happened 5 times in this message, right? Because I underline it because I go, that's a real good one. No, I don't. But rather than the person next to you, in the row in front of you or down the end shouting out an amen, why don't we unify together in faith and we all shout out an amen? Because where we are united together, the blessing of God is. And you unite your flesh when we speak out. When we speak out, the Bible says that the mouth speaks what's in the heart. So rather than us speaking about the coronavirus, why don't we come to church and give some amens for the name of Jesus Christ and unify together, not just today, church, but every week. This is a church where we are united in our amens, in our faith, in our believing, in our speaking, in our testimony, in our living our life. We are united for the cause. Amen. So onward and upward, looking forward with a unified vision. I like this. The book of Acts 2, he says this. It says, verses 2 to 4, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. So one sat upon each of you here this morning. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. This is just after Jesus left. Remember, he said to his disciples, go and wait, and this, my gift of the Spirit is going to come to you. Do you know that that day, it's recorded in the Bible that there was 120 in the upper room? But in reality, there was way more than 120, because that doesn't count women or many of the women, count some. Doesn't count the children that may have been there as well. They reckon that there was quite possibly, scholars say that there was quite possibly over 200, 220 people in that upper room. That doesn't sound like a small home church to me. You know, when people talk about the book of Acts and the church should be in our homes, well, that's the church right there at the beginnings. And it's a pretty big church, 120 plus. You know, everyone that was there today in unity, because that's what the Bible says, is that they were in unity and one accord. Depends on what translation you read. Everyone that was there is in this story. They received a tongue. In other words, a touch of the Spirit of God came on them. If we just stay to what's recorded, the 121st person that wasn't there isn't recorded as receiving the tongue that day, wow, or the move of the Spirit of God. Wow. When we are in unity together and the blessing of God comes, it comes over all of us that are in unity together. This is the power of the church. A nightmare to me would be a day where I decided to stay home because I was sick. And I was sick and I was like, you know what? I'm struggling today. Babe, can you preach the message? And I just don't think I can come today. And that's the very day that the Spirit of God did something new in our midst that has never been done before. Or that is the day when someone's leg got healed. Or someone's heart got healed and salvation flowed into their lives. Or that's the day where the Spirit of God tangibly actually came, like in this book of Acts. And He poured out His Spirit. And people were just having visions and seeing, and there was laughing. We were carrying on as a church, rejoicing in God. And I was at home watching Netflix because I was sick. Well, I wasn't. I'd be on Facebook Live watching what's going on over there, just down the road. That's a sad day to me. But I look forward to the day where I bring my talent, my gift, and I'm where I'm supposed to be, bringing what God has given me, and I brought it into the house like I was meant to and created to, like Jesus died for and commissioned me to. And I was found in the house of the Lord where I was so supposed to be. And I was here that day preaching when God came in a mighty way. And it had nothing to do with me, had nothing to do with the message I prepared. But God said, today is the day I've made, and I will come and touch City Point North, and we're going to see the Spirit of God move like a river in that place. I want to be there on that day, receiving that blessing in unity. Amen. And so why does this happen? Well, I don't know about you, but sometimes I have hard days, and I feel like my faith is on the back burner. Does anyone have these days where you're just living through the day, and you haven't really thought much about your faith or your positivity or even God? You've been practicing the continual praying, but you've just, hours have gone by and just the day has taken you up. Sometimes we come like this on Sundays. It's not very often for you, I know that, but for me, sometimes on Sundays I come and I've been working all week on my Word of God because I never prepared this in 5 minutes. I spent a lot of time, a lot of prayer, a lot of energy into preparing a message every single week. But I get to Saturday night and I just might maybe feel exhausted or just a bit empty, or I come to church Sunday morning and I just like, you know what, God, I just want to get to church early today. I just want to pray for half an hour. I just want you to soak me. And sometimes we come like this. I'm just being honest. Is it okay to be honest? Because you do the same, so I'm just trying to use me as a good example. But this is the reality. But when you bring a little bit of faith, and the person next to you brings a lot of faith, and the person next to you is over the top in faith, but they're just having the best morning ever, the one behind you's got a little bit of faith. It's contagious. And before you know it, song one happens. The back doors close up, the room starts to get a bit darker, and you start to focus more on the God that these words are singing to. And you start to remember that miracle that happened in your life once, or that thing that turned around in your life once, and you just start to focus on God. And before you know it, faith rises up in you because the room's contagious. It gets to the end of the song and everyone starts clapping, which is just so weird. We do that after every song. And the band rails, which is weird too. We do that after every song. But something happens in you. and you decide to clap and get rowdy at the end of the song like we do every song, but this time you allow that faith to rise up inside of you. And before you know it, you're crying, snot's coming out everywhere, and you're on your knees and you're having the best time. I wonder if that would have happened on Facebook Live in your living room today. I'm not saying it couldn't have, but there's something special when we come together in faith, amen. The best times I ever had as a musician wasn't in the best gig I did or playing on Channel 10, Rove Live, which was fantastic and I fully enjoyed it. I was kind of almost famous. I was kind of a try-hard, really. I want to be famous, but I was nearly there. It wasn't the best time. I had many, many, many best times. It was playing the bass in church, at C3 Church. And the presence of God comes and I do a little lick that no one even cares or hears about. And I just felt the anointing over it, something breaking the spirit when I did it. And I start doing 4 on the 4 on the bass. The drummer unifies with me. And we've got this marching thing going on. And in the spirit, everyone's just lifting their songs, having their moments like we were just talking about. But in the spirit realm, I was seeing chains breaking over every stroke. Because we go through this as musicians. This is what we go through, where song leaders say things. And to us, we hear words, but to them, they're in their minds and in their heart, they're in unity with the Spirit, and they're literally breaking the ground around in the territory around us. Best moments of my life as a musician was in those moments. The simple moments, some people view that as throwaway, or, you know, you could be earning so much money, wouldn't trade that for the world. In fact, I traded the world for that because it was just way too good. And I just brought my talent 100% into the house of God. I'm not saying to do that, but my heart was moved in the unity of the musicians in faith together and the church in faith shouting out and singing. Something powerful happens in unity. Amen. If you're a mum or a dad and you're a stay-at-home mum or dad raising the kids, I want you to know today that you can still be unified in the vision and everything we're doing. You do it through prayer. You do it through a heart attitude and you do it through your life motive. We can be unified. In the workforce, working for a boss, you can be this unified still. If you're running a business owner and sometimes you just feel like you're out doing business and where's the church and how's my support, I want to encourage you, lean in and be unified in your heart. Allow your business to be unified with the vision of the church. Don't just do it to create your own image or your own wealth, but let's do it to raise up the kingdom of God and the church of God to be an influence and a light in our world. This is why it matters. Ready? When your talent brings in blessing, when your witness brings in the harvest, when your money begins to multiply, when your vision grows to new and new and greater levels, and when God's presence on your life intensifies, the blessing, like in the book of Acts, pours out upon all of us. Upon all of us. That's how important you are. As you get deeper into God, as you purify your life more and more, the church shines greater and greater because we united are the church. Amen. You know, the enemy's always had the same plan. Throughout history, he's never changed. Divide and conquer. Divide and conquer. That's his plan. To divide the talents. Makes it sound good, but really he's bringing division. Division in vision. In what we are doing as City Point North Church, the vision. And so sometimes he divides us by giving you your independent vision. But there is no such thing as an independent vision independent of the church of God. Is this okay to teach this a little bit deeper today? There is no such thing. The vision that God will put in your heart always has an avenue within his church. It's called the Bride of Christ. Jesus died for us. So your vision is always to be attached into the church. It doesn't mean you can't have a new branch, but it does mean that the church will support that branch. It means bring what God's placed, bring it to your brothers and sisters, and bring it into the church so that we can stand with you and you are not alone out there. Amen? So we do it together. The gates of hell will not prevail against the army of the Lord. An army is only an army when it's unified. Otherwise, you're just a soldier with no identity. An army is an army when we wear the same uniform, when we are at the same war with the same purpose and the same vision. And it's against the army that the enemy cannot defeat. Amen. In the book of James, it says to pray, I like this, to pray for one another and you will be healed. Unity. If you need healing here today, rather than just crying out, God, fix me, heal me, change me, why don't you in faith start praying for your other brothers and sisters that need healing? Because the scripture says in James 5:16, if you'd like to check it out, that you will be healed as you pray for one another. I just want to finish with what Jesus said in Matthew 18:20. He said, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in their midst. He gives us an option here. He says, I'd rather three, but I'll start with two. In other words, just find somebody to start with. And then when you unify, get somebody else. When you unify, get somebody else. Can I tell you this morning, church, there's hundreds of somebody else's in this very house. We don't need a two or a three. This could say to us, when hundreds get together, I am there in their midst. But if you're in a life group, long as there's two together in the name of Jesus, a unified vision, and a unified purpose, you need to know God is there. Never doubt it. God is there in your midst. Amen. You believe this today? You know, I think... something that I need to be honest about, and I think something that you need to be honest about, is simply this. We need and we must be consumed with the purposes of God. You receive that today? We must be. Come on. Hear my words today and please apply these to yourselves. We must be and we need to be consumed with the purposes of God. That's why you're here on planet Earth, amen? To be consumed with His purposes. When we fulfill, I'm gonna be speaking about being empty in the coming weeks, that by being empty, we actually become full. Can I say, empty yourselves, your whole life, every part of who you are, talents, just everything. Empty it, and consume it with God's purposes for humanity, and you will find what you've always been looking for. You receive that today, you will find the fulfillment in every area of your life that you've ever desired, in emptying and being consumed with the purposes of God. Do you receive that today, church? Awesome. Well,